Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia, and with me, as always, is the rumbunctious Jennifer Wollman. Jennifer, say hi.
Hi. I feel like that should be more like, hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah,
hi.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Don't mind her, guys. She's a little jet lagged. That should have been your description.
Yeah, jet lagged. I'm good.
All right. So today we're going to discuss a little bit of an update on the end of the legislative session.
Not the end of the legislative session because they didn't balance the budget. So
that is very true.
Officially, we haven't ended yet.
You're absolutely right. And for those of you who maybe don't know, it's the one thing in the Florida Constitution.
It's the only thing.
It's the only thing that they are required to do. They're not required to do everything else that they do, but they are required to pass a budget. And so they will come back, and you're right. So you know what? Then let's just throw this away and just come back
little later. The bills have already passed. They just need
the
governor's signature. So a lot of our issues have already passed. So I thought it would be good if we did an update. And then the new session is scheduled, or the extended session is scheduled to end June 6th. But we did have a lot of good wins for real estate in Florida. So
And for the people of Florida.
Yes.
If you want to just kind of provide some broad strokes of some of the things that we're following, there were things that we as realtors have been advocating for years that were part of some of the bills that were successful in passing this year. For example, something that we've been speaking about for years, bringing additional transparency to the transactions that involve condo units and condominium associations, protecting the private property rights of commercial buildings and short-term rental owners dealing with squatters, preserving and protecting the natural wonders of our state parks, which is very important. I was just in a state park recently, and it was a beautiful experience. Eliminating the negative consequences of look-back periods, which is something that we've covered in another episode here, and increasing the transparency of flood risk for long-term renters as well as purchasers of condos, co-ops, and mobile home park lots, and helping landlords and tenants communicate through optional electronic notices, which is, I know, it's only 2025.
And we're finally here.
And we're finally here. We could communicate via email, which is wonderful. So yeah, you want to, let's break down a little bit of some of these things that that have come out. I think we could start with this additional transparency in condo transactions. And, you know, I think the goal for everybody is to create a smooth transaction to safer buildings, and also buildings that are financially healthy. You know, and I think that that's a big component of what the legislature has been working on for the last few years in making sure that there are, you know, structural integrity of the buildings and that there is financial health in the condo association to address those big ticket items that come up that are going to be important to maintain the structural integrity of those buildings. So I think here, this was definitely a priority of ours to improve the transparency of condo associations. They would be required to include approved board of director meeting minutes for the past 12 months on their website. And the idea here is that if you're going to buy a condo unit, you want to kind of know what has been discussed in the board of directors meetings to understand if there is maybe a big ticket item that is coming up for vote, a big investment that needs to be made, an issue that has been addressed and that has been a part of the conversation for the last 12 months, and that in the past, it's been very difficult to get access to this information.
Yeah, and I love that it would have to be on their website, because to your point, one of the reasons we discuss the condo situation in Miami, for even though this is more of a commercial podcast, is because of the affordability issue. Condos have historically been our affordable housing in the city, and the new laws for the Sears study and the 40-year certifications and everything have significantly increased the expense of owning a condo. And this transparency issue has long been on our want list, because a lot of our condo owners don't live here full time, right? They're not involved with the association. Yeah. They're international owners who either own the property as an investment, or they come once in a while, or they have family members who come once in a while, and they just aren't aware of a lot of what's going on within their building. Sure. So having that information on a website allows the prospective buyer to go through and get information that a seller might not readily have.
And one of the items of why it's important to read the minutes is because you might ask the seller, is there a special assessment? And there is no special assessment, because the board of directors has not voted on a special assessment. It has not been notified, you know, and so therefore there is no special assessment. But maybe by reading through the meetings, and this has happened before, you see that the special assessments might be in the agenda for the next meeting after you buy the property, because they've been talking about, we're going to need to do this. We need to make this investment. We're getting quotes. And then after that, we're going to have to, you know, dish out a special assessment. But one thing that I think it's very important about this bill that I just want to mention is that right now, If you're buying a condo unit and you are in receipt of the condo docs, you have basically 3 days to evaluate and to decide whether you want to keep going or not. Well, that has been extended to 7 days in this bill. Obviously, everything that we're mentioning to you, provided that the governor signs it into law, right? So there's still one more step. But, you know, once the House and the Senate vote on it and they agree that this is the bill that is in the desk right now of Governor DeSantis, then, you know, that's the reason what we're talking about. But I think that providing the 7 days is going to be a big important aspect of
this. And moving forward, like, we don't have a lot of older buildings in Miami-Dade that have retail on the bottom, but we do have some that are part of condos that are older. I'm thinking of the Four Ambassadors on Brickell. Sure. So those condo docs then come into play, and the special assessments and everything come into play. So if you are buying a commercial unit and that's part of a condominium, it's super important to read those docs and the condo docs to know how the commercial side is treated within the whole of the association.
Yeah. And listen, I think recently, maybe it was announced a couple of days ago, there was a couple of restaurant spaces in the SLS Lux that just traded for like $38 million. You don't think that they looked very carefully into the condo docs? I mean, you know, that's usually money that is reserved to buying, you know, a freestanding building.
Yes.
Definitely. One of the things that we mentioned was about the look back period, which has to do with, it requires cities and counties to have a webpage, number one, dedicated to hurricane and storm recovering, to provide a permitting guide for residential and commercial property owners. The guide has to include the elevation requirements following substantial damage and substantial improvement in accordance with the NFIP, which is the National Flood Insurance Program. And the bill also prohibits local governments participating in the NFIP from adopting or enforcing look-back periods, which is interesting, because I don't see a timeline here.
It just says it would go into effect July 1st, 2025. Right. So,
wow.
Yeah. We'll have to do a deeper dive in that and see.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The next one here, as we're going through, you want to go through this one? Yeah.
That's Preserve and Protect Florida's State Park. And basically what that does is it updates Florida's management of state lands by prioritizing conservation-based recreational use and restricting environmentally harmful construction in state parks, permitting camping cabins only if they do not harm natural resources. And that also goes into effect July 1st. And I love this one because we were there. We were in the room when it happened.
Well, when the debate
was debate was happening. Yeah. Well, when the proposal from the governor hit the floor, we were actually at our legislative meetings in Orlando, and there was a letter that was sent off quickly, and that was because they were trying to put in a golf course and hotels in a couple of the state parks.
Right.
And I just came back from London, I told you, and the parks are kept separately and pristine, and it's why London consistently is one of the top world cities, and Miami's there too. Most of our parks are water-based, but a lot of our state parks are not, and they're wonderful treasures. So
I also found that interesting that the bill establishes a new timeline for public hearings. Sometimes they can create public hearings in the middle of summer, whatever it is, and then you don't really allow for people to really express how the public feels. Exactly. Exactly.
And then helping vacation rental owners remove squatters is another bill that went through. And this just tacks on to a residential bill from last year. So it makes it easier for public lodging establishment operators, such as hotels and vacation rental owners, to remove problem guests by clarifying when a stay is temporary and setting clear removal rules and allowing police to arrest guests who refuse to leave.
Right.
And continuing with the squatters theme, speeding up the removal of squatters from commercial properties also passed, I think, unanimously. It helps commercial property owners remove illegal squatters more easily by letting owners file complaints with the sheriff, allowing immediate evictions, increasing penalty for property damage, and preventing fake property listings, which is going to be interesting how they make that happen.
Yes.
Yeah. And how they enforce it, which is, always where the rubber meets the road, as they say.
Right. How are these implemented? Yeah. Exactly. And then they've also made it easier for landlords and tenants to send notices electronically via email if both parties agree through an addendum to the rental agreement. This agreement may be revoked at any time by either party with written notice. I wonder if written notice then has to be in the mail if they're revoking. Notices are considered delivered when sent unless they are returned as undeliverable, and the bill requires the sender to maintain a copy of the electronically sent notice and evidence of its transmission.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't believe that it has taken all this time, but, I think it's fair. Both people agree. We're going to communicate via email, and, you provide evidence of that transmission. And then if you decide, I would prefer to get a written notice than,
certified mail.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And increasing transparency for flood risk. This is something that has come up, many, many times. But it requires landlords to provide the existing cellar flood disclosure to tenants at or before they sign a lease for 1 year or longer. Condo developers, co-op developers, and mobile home park owners will also be required to provide the disclosure to prospective purchasers. This disclosure helps renters and buyers make more informed decisions about a property and reduce the number of legal disputes that occur. This, again, it just adds to the transparency. Knowing what you're getting into, what you're buying, what you're leasing, those things, become important. Was there anything else there that you saw, in the session that we want to highlight?
Yeah, the changes to the Live Local Act, where the bill expands the land use mandate for affordable housing to sites owned by certain religious institutions and certain planned unit developments, and it prohibits local governments from enforcing building moratoria on authorized proposed developments in most situations. Yeah. It also clarifies the definitions of commercial, industrial, and mixed use as allowable uses, and amends regulations of proposed developments related to historic buildings and administrative approval.
The bill creates a new state policy allowing affordable housing developers to reserve preference for employees of healthcare facilities, hospitals, and government aid within federal low-income tax credit rules. That's very interesting. I like that. Live Local is it's alive. For the last 3 years that we've come back to the legislature, there's always been improvements, tweaks, changes. So it's very much a living thing that continues to evolve.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's been noticed. It's been noticed nationwide just because of how comprehensive, it has been. I find it really interesting that there are number one, the dust has yet to settle on this legislative session. To your point, it hasn't been completed. There are, I believe that when the legislature takes this break, they have to come back and they have to basically vote on extending the legislative session. And I think they also have to decide, okay, these bills are still in the mix. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see, what happens when everybody comes back into the table and to see really how, when all the dust settles, how everything sets out. But I do want to say that there's definitely a few things here that I find interesting, which is that the intentionality of addressing the affordable housing from a myriad of issues, definitely the intention to protect private property rights is there, to preserve our natural resources is there. So definitely a lot of work. It's been a very active mm-hmm. session in the legislature this year.
Agreed. Contentious, a lot of politicking as people try stuff, to, the new governor, the governor's at the end of his term. So people politicking for roles in new administrations or new runs for office. So those always make for exciting popcorn eating type entertainment. But luckily they there do get go. Business done. At the end of the day, they are there to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
That was it. That's all, folks. Which cartoon character said, "That's all, folks"? Was it Bugs Bunny or Elmer Fudd?
It was one of those.
Yeah, I can't do the accent anyway. But oh, Porky Pig. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, Jess. My Warner Brothers.
Jess for
Porky
the win.
Pig.
Jess for the
all,
win.
Folks.
I love it.
See,
I love
can't
it.
Do it.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on another episode of Between Two Chairs. We appreciate your listening in. And like Jennifer said, that's all, folks. Bye. Jennifer, say bye.
Bye. All I right. did.
Can't end without you saying bye.
Bye.